just been stirring. Right. Praise the Lord. I know I've been stirred. I hope you have been stirred through the pastor's preaching. Praise God. And I'm just looking in the generation in which we live in. We need to be the Christians, the stewards of God, the light that God wants us to be in this generation. And there's some things here I want to share tonight. Not many. I've got maybe 7 things, maybe 8 things to share to you. I could have put a whole bunch of scripture with all these things, but I didn't do that. I just put a couple scriptures with each one because I know how it is on a Wednesday night. I understand. I know everybody's worked. I've worked. Everybody's a little tired, but you know what? Still, we need to hear God's word.
That's right, brother. You might.
We need to hear what God has to say about certain things, and it will strengthen us and help us, I hope, tonight. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Was it? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. There's 14. Well, okay. I could use that as well. Make it. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I was reading this earlier in 1 Timothy, and I got caught up in it thinking, oh, I want to talk about this too. Oh, Lord, help me tonight. Praise God. 2 Timothy. If you would, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There is a portion of scripture here that here spoken unto Timothy, and I want you to hear what the apostle has to say to him, because it's very important for us. Because we are in the perilous times. We are in times of danger, whether we want to believe that or not. We are in perilous times that we live in today. And he talks about that in chapter 3. But I want you to go with me to verse 10. And he says, "But thou hast faithfully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. With what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Woo, can we say that? Yes. Amen. Yes. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But verse 14, I want you to pay attention to. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them."
Yes.
"And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." He uses this word here in verse 14, and I want to, I'm jumping off here of this word because to go in this lesson this evening, he uses this word continue, "but continue thou in the things thou hast learned." That has just been eating at me, you know. And if you go over there, you can go to 1 Timothy as well, because he talks, I was reading this earlier in chapter 4, 1 Timothy, talking about being an example. He wants Timothy to be an example, and he warns against false teachers. And in chapter 4, 1 Timothy, chapter 4, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth," verse 12, "but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of my hands, of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them." There's that word again. "Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee." So he's exhorted Timothy to be an example to all men. Be an example to the believers. Be an example within the church and those around you. And he told him what to do. And then over in chapter 2 of Timothy, which I do want to look at this evening, he says in verse 14 that we are to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. There's some things we need to continue in. I looked up a few of these things that we need to continue in. And I think they're important for us. First of all, let me just give definition of the word continue. You know, I mean, to some folks, what does continue mean to you? I put that out there. What does it mean to continue? Keep on? Anybody else?
Keep doing the same things you've been doing.
Keep doing the same things you've been doing? There's no wrong answer. Those two answers are right. Anybody else? This word has a broad meaning. Do what?
Press on.
That's right. Continue. Press on. Continue doing what you're doing. I wrote down a few of these words, and I want you to hear what they say. To continue is to go on. It's to keep up. I like this now. Lord, I might get to preaching here. I need to just stop here and teach, but we need to keep up. Continue is to hold on, to endure. If you continue in something, you're enduring, okay? You are lasting. Amen. Yeah. You're not failing. You're lasting in this. You are standing firm when you continue. Oh, Christians, hear me tonight. We are standing upon God. Amen. His word is in us. It's to stay. We're not going to be moved away. We're not turning to the left or to the right. We are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. We are abiding. Continuing is to abide. Woo, I like that. Jesus says, abide in me. If my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And what? It shall be done. So to continue is to go on. That's right. Keep doing what you have been taught. You know, so many times Christians don't do what they're taught. They have ears that hear, but they don't make application to what is taught to them. Well, what is the opposite of continue? Because I want you to hear what the opposite of continue would be. Anybody got an idea what is the opposite of continuing? I put it out there for you. To stop. Very good. If you don't continue, you do what? Stop. We as Christians, are we to stop in our faith?
No.
We're always moving. We're always advancing. We're always pushing forward. We're always entering in to the kingdom of God. We are never standing still. No, not the Christian. He's got to push on. So it is quitting. If the opposite of continue is to quit, to stop, to cease, to leave something, to drop out. Oh my. Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said. He has loved this world and has gone after the things of the world. He dropped out of serving God. Whew. Abandon. Not to continue is to abandon, to desert, to surrender, and to yield.
Yes, go ahead.
Wow. We don't want to be in any of that category, do we? That's not the Christian. The Christian's on the other side. They're standing, man. Amen. They're enduring. They're those who are staying. They're abiding in Christ. They're holding on with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're continuing in God. Well, I listed about 7 or 8 things in the scriptures I want to share with you tonight. It's things that we need to continue in. First of all, we need to continue in praise. Ooh. Why is that so important, Brother Carl? Well, the scripture tells us in Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, that should not be very hard for us Pentecostal believers.
Right.
You would think. Right?
Yeah.
You would think. I've been to a lot of churches, Pentecostal churches, where people do not praise God and have a hard time of praising God. Now listen, I know we're not all cookie cut molds. Okay, we're all different. I understand that. There's not a cookie cut. I mean, you're not the same as Brother Cottle. I'm not the same as you, Nathan. None of us are the same. Praise God.
Right.
I wouldn't want to be looking at myself all the time. No. We're not the same. But however, the scripture has exhorted us that those who are in Christ, they need to continue in praise. We need to celebrate, church. We need to glorify God. We need to exalt God. We need to applaud Him.
Amen.
My, why is that so hard? Does not the scripture say, what are there not cherubims that are around the throne of God? There are cherubims. Cherubim is those who have six wings. Two they cover their eyes, two they fly, and two they cover their feet. And they're going around the throne of God. What are they saying unto the God? What are they doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? How long are they doing it? Non-stop. As I'm speaking right now, they're still flying around His throne. Holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
Lord God Almighty.
Yeah.
Woo! Praise is comely to the saints of God. Hallelujah. We need to be continuing in praise. The scripture says, God inhabits the praises
right.
of His people.
Oh, yeah.
You want God in your services? You want God in your situation? You know, whatever you are in, begin to praise Him.
Right.
Begin to applaud Him.
Right.
Begin to exalt His name.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. You know, lifting Him up and glorifying who He is and what He is. Hallelujah. Whoo. Am I getting through? Am I getting through with this? Because there's so many of us, we have the hardest time of praising God. I don't understand it.
That's right.
I really don't. Psalms 150. Brother, you've read this many a times up here, right here behind the pulpit. Verse 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Yeah,
everything
right.
that hath breath praise the Lord. Why is it you can come to church? And boy, there's some brothers or sisters that'll come in, they're excited, praise God, and all of a sudden, feels like a damp cough been thrown on them. You know, somebody's like, oh, man, that brother, that's all he does, come in here, praising God. You know, that sister, man, she comes in here, she's all excited all the time. Don't they ever have problems? Well, we all have problems, we all have persecutions, we all have difficulties. It's what you're going to do with them that God is interested with. You're going to give them over to God. You're not going to worry about them. You're going to exalt His name. Hallelujah. When we come into His house, we're going to praise Him with our lips. We're going to do everything about us. Every part of us is going to worship God and love Him. Hallelujah. You know, I just think of David when the ark, when he went and got the ark, you know, and he was so excited about the ark of God. That is a semblance of the presence of God coming into the camp. God among them. It was the ark. When the ark was there, God was there. That's how important that ark was, you know. And there they were, the Levites. They were bringing in the ark, you know, into the city of David. Jerusalem, here he comes. And what does David do? Man, he strips off his kingly garb. Takes off that stuff. Take off my crown. He's just got his the inner garments on that he had, you know, of his inner garments. And he begins to dance and praise God before the ark. Now, I don't know what kind of dance he was doing, jumping up and down. I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was just shouting, praising God. I'm sure he'd look back at the ark. Whoa! You know, glory! Here comes God in the house. Hey, you know, praise the Lord. I don't know how else to say. You know, God is coming in the camp, and he's excited.
Yeah, go ahead.
But there's many people who are a lot like his wife, Michael. She looked out at David and despised him. How could you disgrace us like that? Taking off the kingly garments and going and dancing and shouting and looking like just a commoner. Oh, I want to get a point across to you tonight. We have got to continue in praise. When we stop praising God, when we stop applauding him, when we stop giving him all exaltation, we begin to turn away from God. Hello?
Oh, yeah.
We begin to get cold and indifferent toward God. We see those who are praising God, those who are loud, those who are shouting, those who are running. We think, oh, that's just the same old crew. Why don't you join them?
That's right.
Woo!
That's right, brother. Amen.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest with us tonight. Why don't you get out there and get on in and praise God and applaud him. Hallelujah. There's nothing where God has given you two arms, two hands, just like I got. You can clap.
That's right.
He's given you a mouth. You can praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Boy, I could give you so many more scriptures. That's only I'm only on the first point here. God, help us. We have got to be those who are going to hold on to God in praise and glory and exalting his wonderful name. You know something, if we could just get this in our makeup, get this in our mentality. We have not come to church to be viewed by people, to be seen by anyone. We're not putting on a show to anyone. We have not come to be showmen or show ladies in the church.
Right.
We have come to exalt the King.
Right.
When we have that mentality, and when you come into the sanctuary of God, and the whole assembly of God is there to worship, everything in you should be just ready to just run and to just praise his holy name.
Yeah.
He's here. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Worship him. Glorify him. Exalt him. Oh, we need to continue in praise before the Lord. Oh, let me go on. Secondly, we need to continue in his church. Hello. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. I like that. Do y'all like to be exhorted? What is exhortation? What's exhorting?
Encouraging.
Thank you, sister. Lifting up, encouraging. Exhorting isn't putting down.
No.
Exhorting is not trampling on someone.
No.
Stepping all over them.
Right.
Abusing them. Exhorting them. And that's what the scripture says here. In the manner of some, but he says here, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is the house of prayer. We've designated this church, this sanctuary, is the house of prayer that we gather in, that we come in together, that we gather as a body, his body, the church. But this is just a building, right?
Right.
There's nothing holy about this building. Okay? Don't get me wrong here. Hear me out. It's just got four walls, paneling, come on, studs.
Oh, yeah.
It's a place that we have made for ourselves to gather together, and the church, that's us,
right?
You and I.
Yeah.
Us lively stones here. Praise the Lord. We're the ones that make the church. We come in here. Stone upon stone. Building up. Don't go to sleep on me now. I'm not even started here. Come on, stay with me. We're built up. Here are these lively stones. We are in the church. We have come, and this church, his church, Jesus says, my Father's house shall be a house of what?
Worship.
Worship and what?
Prayer.
Prayer. Woo! Glory to God. So we as the living stones of God, when we come in, we're coming into the sanctuary, God's church, to gather together to what? Worship God in prayer. Worship God in praise. Everything is to worship God, church.
Right.
Yes, we come in respectfully to God's house. We show God's house all respect. I mean, we're not going to be abusive to the things in the house of God. We're not going to trample on the books. We're not going to tear our furniture, right?
Right.
And believe me, we got to watch some of our kids. All right? Them little guys, them little girls, they'll take pens and they'll start sticking stuff in your pews. Hey, I know how it goes. But I don't mean to get off on that, praise the Lord. But we just got to honor God's house here, okay? Notice what the word here says in Luke 24:53. Oh, hallelujah. Luke 24, turn there a second. Are y'all tired? Wake up. Okay. Luke 24. This is wonderful. Now, this is after the resurrection of Jesus, okay? In this chapter, here he goes through. He's been resurrected. He's on the road to Emmaus. He'll meet those two individuals upon the road to Emmaus. He'll have a discourse with them. You know the story. And he begins, they say, you know, he says, what's been going on? Jesus says, what's been happening? What? You know, what do you mean what's been happening? Where have you been? And they begin to tell him about the crucifixion of Jesus, who was supposed to be the Christ. And, you know, and on they went. And then he says, and then he began to talk to them, right? And open and expound the scriptures to them of the things that must be done to himself. And as they journeyed, and it goes on, and while they were going on their journey, he was going to pass by, and he says, oh, they said, no, come on in with us, eat, it's getting late. And he goes in, you know the story, and there they set bread before him, he breaks bread, and oh my, their eyes were opened up, and they know that it was the Lord.
Yeah.
And they had to leave that place and go tell everybody else. Amen. But it says here, if you go with me, to that verse in Jesus' ascension, verse 50, it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him. Oh, Lord. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Not a little bit of joy. What's great joy? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is great joy. Did David have great joy dancing before the ark? Oh, yeah. That's great joy. That's joy. Great joy. They saw their Lord. It says they worshiped him, returned with great joy to Jerusalem. They couldn't wait to tell. And were continually in the temple. Woo, glory. They were continually in the church. Amen.
Right.
Sometimes it's hard for a lot of folks even to get here on Sunday. Nah, I guess I won't step out any further. Y'all get my point. Sometimes it's hard for folks to get here on Wednesdays.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, we begin with the excuses. We begin with, well, I'll stop. And they were continually in the temple.
Yeah.
That means they were keeping on and holding on, folks. Glory to God. They were enduring. They weren't quitting. They weren't deserting. They weren't surrendering anywhere. No, sir. They were staying and abiding in the temple. My. Praising God. Praising God. That's what it says. Praising and blessing God. Continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Praise the Lord. We need to continue in God's church. I like our church because we have a lot of functions. You know that? We do. We have a lot of functions together. I think it's important that we get together. It's extremely important that we fellowship with each other and have that good fellowship together, because we are in bad times.
Right.
We need the fellowship of one another. We need to dwell with each other, praising God, loving Him together. The church, Jesus says, I will build my church. You and me. He's going to build us. But He said, I'm going to build my church and they can all stay where they want to stay. They can all do what they want to do. It doesn't work that way. Have you ever seen a builder try to build a house and, well, I'll build a portion of the foundation here and I'll build another portion way over here? It doesn't happen. That doesn't get a house built. It has to come together continually, fellowshipping together. Amen. Thirdly, they continue, and I think we need to continue in prayer. Oh, my. So first, there is praise. Secondly, we need to continue in the church. Thirdly, we need to continue in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. Wow. What does effectual mean? Sir?
Earnest.
Earnest, yes. The effectual, the earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is what? What is prayer? Thank you. Anybody else? Prayer is communing with God. Talking to God. I think I'm going to get myself in trouble. I got to watch out. Communing with God, putting our petitions before God, supplicating our supplications before God. Luke 6:12 says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, that is Jesus, and continued all night in prayer to God. If there's anything, if I don't get through anything else tonight, I really want to hammer this in. I really want to put this down because I think it's important for us. We can't do a thing without praying. Prayer should be to us as breathing is. I mean, just stop breathing. You can't do that very long. You have to breathe. You can do a little while, but then you got to take that breath. It's just the necessity for our life. We can't live without air. We as Christians cannot live without prayer.
Right.
But unfortunately, I think our churches, many of our churches, has been hindered in their prayers to God. Why? Many things. Many things hinder. Many things come in conflict, but I want to point out to you, I think tonight we need to be men, Christians, men and women who are going to prioritize our lives that we get the ultimate out of our prayers. I'm not telling you to get up at 3, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, if you can and that's the way you like to do it, that's fine. But I am telling you, I don't think it's very good and very smart to try to pray and commune and talk to God at the end of the day.
Come on.
Oh, you can, and I have, and I do. I still talk to God at the end of the day. But I want to start out my day in the presence of God. I want to start out my day communing with Him, getting instruction from Him, getting the Word of God from Him, knowing what He wants for me today. And the only way I can do that is I've got to prioritize. That's very hard for us, right? Some people tell me all the time, I don't, Brother Carter, you don't understand. I don't have the time. Oh, really? Let me see. How many hours in a day? 24. Wait a minute, I got 25, right? Oh, I got 24? How much do you have?
24.
Oh, we all got the same amount of time. Ah. How many days in a week? 7 days a week. Okay? He's saying, Brother Carl, you're just getting all way out of... Listen to me. We all have the same amount of time. I don't care what we have in jobs or what we do.
Right, come on.
We all have 24 hours in a day. It's how we prioritize and what we put as in front of the list and most important to us that's going to get done. And unfortunately, many Christians don't put prayer life, their prayer first in their life, and it takes a way back seat sometimes back here at the end of a day. And sometimes if it takes it way back there, we don't even take it there.
That's right. Go ahead.
Before we know it, we've missed 2-3 days of praying.
Yeah.
Because why? We just haven't prioritized. We think other things are more important. Getting up, getting my husband going, getting this done, getting my daughters to school, getting my son off, on and on. Things I got to do. It's just more important. No, it's not. Do y'all love me? Okay. It's not important. Jesus made sure He continued in prayer with His Father. He did not break that. We are to pray often. Paul says, pray always in prayer. We are to always pray, lifting up holy hands before the Lord. Pray always. Well, how do you pray always? Someone tell me. I drive a truck for a living. I'm a busy man. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm busy. I work 10, sometimes 12 hours a day, busy. But Scripture says, pray always. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving. Oh, my. I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip here. I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm just trying to get you to understand that we need to prioritize. So, I'm always to pray. Well, how do you pray always? Well, when I'm in that truck and I'm going down that road, hallelujah, my mind goes to the Lord. Amen.
Right.
I begin to pray as I'm driving down the road. I begin to talk to God. When the times and all of a sudden I'll get to a job and I got to do my job and all of a sudden I'll get back and I have a free moment, I'm praying, God, touch me today. Be with my church. Touch the brothers and sisters in church today. Help them, Lord. You know, looking at those small opportunities through the day that God gives you to pray. Amen. Oh, here I go. I told you I'm going to step on something. Here it comes. Sometimes we get so tired and we're so weary. And I understand that. We all work. Not just me. I know we all do. And it just seems like, well, God understands. Yeah, He understands.
Yeah, that's right.
He does understand. Mm-hmm. He understands us. We're flesh. He understands that that He has made us. He knows us. He knows everything about us. Yes, He understands our makeup. He also understands that He has given His life for you. He also understands that His blood has been shed for you. He has redeemed you and bought you and purchased you and has given you the life that you have.
Yeah.
He also understands that, guess what? You owe Him. Hello?
Oh, yes. Amen. It's true.
I am a servant of the Most High.
Right.
I do not belong to myself. I'm His. Therefore, if I am His, I must give all of myself to what God wants.
Yes.
I'm not going to know what He wants unless I spend time in prayer.
Right.
Unless I talk to God.
Right.
Unless I commune with God. So, I ask you, how much time do you spend reading books? How much time do we spend watching TV? How much time do we spend with our friends? How much time, and I could go on and on. How much time do we go and use our time for ourselves? Jesus told His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Would you pray with me an hour? Go pray an hour with me. Jesus goes and prays. And is there, and He comes back to His disciples, and lo and behold, where are they? Probably snoring some good ones. Cutting the logs. They're tired. They've been through a busy time with the Lord, a busy week with the Lord. And now the pressure's on, you know, and it's, oh, man, they couldn't even pray an hour. Have you ever been there? Come on now, be honest, church. Have you ever been there where, man, you get down and you try to pray? Boy, I have. I've got down, I've tried to pray. I've been so tired. Oh, Lord, I'll tell you what, it sure does feel good right down here about right now. Lord, I'm with the church in spirit. They know I'm over here. I'm praise God. We're wore out. And you know why we're wore out is because we haven't prioritized.
Come on.
We haven't put God first in prayer. We haven't gained the strength of the Lord that we need in our lives to keep on going. And we try to put prayer, put it in a box or put it somewhere. Yeah, that's something we do as Christians, but all the time? I mean, oh man, that you know prayer's hard work?
Yes.
How many have noticed that prayer is hard work?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, be honest with me. Prayer is not easy. Prayer is travailing. Prayer is going against the powers of darkness. Prayer is fighting the good fight of faith. Prayer takes everything out of you. And why do you think we need to pray first thing when we get up? Because there we have our strength to fight with. Amen. At the end of the day, the only thing you're going to find is something to eat and something to drink. And where's that pillar? Pillow. I call her a pillar. Where's my pillar? I'm tired. I'm no different than y'all, believe me. I struggle with it. I struggle finding time, and I'm having to prioritize. I'm having to ask God to help me, Lord. Show me where you want me. Show me how I could commune with you and bring the petitions I need before you as I should. See, it's just not on a Sunday, and it's not on a Wednesday. It's every day. In our prayer lives. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Ephesians. Oh, glory to God. Chapter 6. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Wow. That's after we have on the whole armor of God. After we've got our armor on and prepared for battle, how do you go to it? In prayer. Shh, glory. We need to be a praying people, church. We're not going to do anything for the kingdom of God unless we make sure our prayer life is where it needs to be in God. Too many Christians are coming to church not ready to worship God.
Right. Amen.
because their minds have not been in prayer. Their heart has not been captivated by God. Their life is not full of praise when they come in. They come into the church. They just gather in. They come in. They sit down. Teach me. Preach to me. I'm ready to go home. What? You've missed it.
Yeah.
If that's all church is to you, you've missed it. We are to want to be people who love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes.
We must be a people of prayer. Amen.
Right.
Fourthly, we need to continue in God's Word. God's Word.
Yes.
God's Word. Amen. John in chapter 8, verse 31 said, "Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." When are you his disciple? When you what? When you what? I can, y'all are sleeping on me now. I must be getting boring. When you what?
Continue in his word.
Continue in his word. How do you continue in his word? Ah, you got to read it. You got to study it. You got to think upon it. You got to muse over it. You got to bring it back, you know, like a cow chews the cud and he kind of throws it back up and from his stomach and his mouth again and chews it again. That's what he does. Over and over. Reading that word of God.
Yeah.
This Bible should never stay beside your bed closed.
Right.
Or that perfect place that you put it in your house, wherever it is, you know. How many, let me ask y'all something. How many Bibles does everybody have? I got a bunch of them in my house. And I'm imagining pretty much everybody here has got two or three or four Bibles, if not more, in their house. And yet we neglect them so often. We don't read. We don't open it. We don't hear what God has to say to us. We don't continue in his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All scripture. And what is scripture? The word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is the lamp unto our feet, church. The word of God lights our path. Hallelujah. I don't want to walk in darkness. I want the light, the word of God, to light my path. To give me wisdom, to give me knowledge, to give me understanding, to give me the ways that God wants me to go. But I can't have that unless I open this book and I read it.
Yes.
Now, I guarantee you, sometimes I've read in some areas, especially there's some books I read and man, it's just like, Lord, that's the hardest thing for me to understand. I just can't, what are you saying here? You know? Y'all don't get that? I mean, y'all understand everything you read in this Bible? My, y'all a bunch of wise guys, and I don't even know it. I need to get around y'all more often. But there's things in here it just blows my mind. You get in Revelation, you start reading there, and there's some things in there that'll blow your mind real quick. You think, God, well, since I can't understand it, I won't read it. Do you know there's a lot of Christians just like that, Brother John?
Absolutely.
That's exactly the way Christians are. Many Christians, because they don't understand what God says in his word, they won't read it. And you know what they do? They hope and trust the preacher is telling them the right thing about it. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
And before you know it, you get a wrong preacher up there telling them the wrong things of God's word,
yeah.
And you got a cult. Because they haven't read the word for themselves. And they haven't asked God for instruction.
Right.
Am I get,
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm almost done. But we need God's word.
Yes.
Study it, church.
Right.
We need to continue in love. Aha. Oh. No, I hate you. Is that love? Mm-mm. Oh, my. Is it love to talk about people?
No.
Is it love to slander somebody? Hello? What is love? Well, we get a description of love out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is love? Love is what? Kind. Right? Gentle. Love is something easy to be entreated. Love is not selfish. Do you remember how before you were a Christian, you were thought you had love in your life for others, and you realized you were just selfish, making sure you get what you want? Oh, hear me now. We're all selfish. Without the love of God shed abroad in our heart, we become selfish. We need to have love. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue in us. Woo! Glory to God. Nate, I'm supposed to love you all the time. Amen. Brotherly love. Looking for your good. Amen. John 15:9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Oh, praise God. We need to love each other as Christ has loved us, given himself for us. You know, when someone comes to our church and they don't see the love of God in our church, what do they see? Man's what? Man's work? Yeah. Yeah. Man's work for sure. If someone can come to your church and they don't feel love in it, oh my. What are they going to do? I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to get out of there. Because you're no different from the family that's causing them problems at home. Hello. The way things are going on around them in the world and the love that they see in the world. And they come to church and they don't see a different love for each other, you'll lose them. They'll say, no different. Bunch of hypocrites. They say they love, love, love. They're no different from me. We need to show the love that is different. That agape love. That love that is just overflowing for one another. Amen. Yeah. A true, godly love that will sacrifice your rights for the rights of someone else. Amen. That will give yourself and expend yourself at the expense of others. You love them because the love of God is in you and in them. Whew, God help me. I got three more and I think y'all look pretty tired. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, man. There's a continuing in grace. We need to continue in faith. We need to continue in fellowship. These three areas, grace, faith, and fellowship. These are the last three, and I've got 10 sub-points under those. But I'm not going to share them with you tonight. Because I know I've already reached my limit. Do y'all love me? Praise God. I sure love y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Putting up with me. Amen. But church, there are things we have to continue in.
Yes.
And these are some of the things I've lived. There's many things that we must continue in.
Right.
But I've just been burdened over these, that God would lead us and guide us into these areas, that we would show more concern, especially in the areas of praise, prayer, the Word of God, and the love of God in us, that they become strong in us, church.
Yes.
Stronger in us. We are a church that wants to reach out to our community, reach out and to keep on going on and holding on for God. Continuing. I don't want to cease doing the work of God. I don't want to abandon God in any way. I don't want to turn away from Him. I don't want to yield the things of God and follow the things of the world. The world has no pleasure for us. Has no pleasure for me. I want to continue where the grace of God and the manifold grace of God is. And that's where I want our church to go. I want our church to thrive in it. I want our church to be able to come. And when we enter into the worship of God, we're entering into it with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. With praise. Amen. Stand with me this evening. Praise God. Amen. Continue thou in the things which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. Wow. I'm asking you tonight to hold on, church. God is fixing to do wonderful things with us. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God is fixing to just show His mighty power like He's never shown it before in our church. Let's make sure that we continue in praise and worship and exaltation and celebration and applause of our God.
Yes.
Amen. For what He has done. Great is His name. Great is His power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. And God is able. God is able to touch us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.